Welcome aboard. It's Seven Land Ham, brought to you by Good Game St. James. This week on the little podcast that could, trains. We're more excited about a ticket to ride than a schoolboy in Amsterdam's red light district. Speaking of which, Aaron's not here. But, he's not here. Anyway, but to choo-choo the fat on everything trains, I do have a guest co-host and a guest expert with a return ticket. We'll talk train games like bridesmaids planning a hen's night, a special trains top 10, and news on the massive Good Games competition. And Travis might turn up, I don't know, maybe.
Woo!
Okay, settle down. It's the highbrow intro. From England's Settle Carlisle Railway to Canada's Rocky Mountaineer, the railways of the world have more heavy metal tracks than Metallica and Megadeth combined. Early horse-drawn railways appeared between the 16th and 18th centuries, but the arrival of the steam engine changed everything. There's a romance to hanging your head out of the window and getting a mouthful of soot and steam. Richard Trevithick built the first steam locomotive railways in Wales in 1804. 25 years later, Stevenson's famous rocket would set a land speed record of, wait for it, 47 kilometres an hour. Railways began to spring up all around the world. First Europe, then the US. By the middle of the century, the world was familiar with a steam engine. At the turn of the 20th century, diesel and electric engines had arrived. The nostalgia, however, is for steam engines. They continued to haul goods and passengers across the world for decades to come. But what does it all mean to gamers? When people ask who did this podcast, you'll be like Hercule Poirot in saying, they all did it. But who are they? To discuss this with me today, I have the Fat Controller himself, Dave Clark.
So excited to be here. Trains. I can't believe it.
You sound like Aaron. The excitement.
Really? Yeah.
Although he loves trains because he planned this thing and he's not here.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not happy about it. I'm sure
he's not. He's upset.
No, he is upset.
And the Flying Scotsman, Matt McKeel.
Tickets, please.
How is your Scottish heritage these days?
Oh, it's extremely Scottish. Yeah,
it is.
It's extremely Scottish. I've
known you for about 68 years. I've never even thought about Mick and Scottishness.
Yeah, this is all very new to us.
Until I had no train references and I thought, Flying Scotsman McHale. How would you feel if someone shoveled coal out of your tender area all day?
I can tell you how I did feel.
Yeah?
Very relaxed.
Very relaxed. God, it depends whether you use the wide shovel or the narrow one. So we're mostly going to be talking about Ticket to Ride today. It's the archetypal gateway game.
Yep, that's about it.
Definitely. Yeah, it's up there in the top three gateway games, along with Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan
and Carcassonne.
Carcassonne.
Yes.
So the top three.
I'm fairly sure they're the top three. At the very least, they're my top three.
Yeah,
I think if you look at those three games together, side by side, think of more expansions or more spin-offs than any other
collection of three games
in history.
Yeah.
Games review. Well, games, no plural today. It's just game. We're just focusing on Ticket to Ride because of this enormous game that's won like every single award there is going. It seems like
for
the
games.
Year. For games, yeah. I was watching the Academy Awards just before.
And, Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, one Ticket to Ride. Yeah, DiCaprio missed out again. It was amazing.
The funniest thing, that was for best female lead in a movie.
Train movie?
In a train movie, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Ticket to Ride won it. It seemed like it came out. Did it come out in 2004, 2005? Because that seems like it's got like every single gaming award.
I can tell you this interesting fact. This year is the 10th anniversary of Ticket to Ride.
Ooh,
that should help you place it.
So it came out in 1990.
Well, I think we can think, it's at least within the last 20 years.
How about people at home can play that game? Instead, because we have no flavor text or anything special on the themed one. People could play that game at home.
What year did Ticket to Ride come out?
Yeah. It's a bit boring.
10th anniversary edition
the
released
game itself,
this year.
Way more exciting than that.
Oh,
yeah. So it's titled Ticket to Ride. That's the what do we call it? The base game, the original game.
Yeah, this is the original,
the classic,
the classic.
It's the base,
the classic. Ticket to Ride.
I think it's safe to say it's the main game.
The main game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a train-based game set in America.
Yeah.
It's got 2 to 5 players, ages 8+. Takes about 30, 60 minutes. And it actually does take that long, even if you're kicking into it for the first time, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the best things about the game, I think, that even with 5 players all working out for the first time, you're not going to be there for hours. You're You'll struggle to be there for more than 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's part of its gatewayness, isn't it? It's that instead of like a little, even a small booklet, it's just got a folded sheet of paper for instructions.
Yeah.
I think you can also easily take the age recommendation for its face value, 8+. It's that accessible, that easy to get into.
Travis, whose age we don't mention ever, because he just sounds young, but could be about 8. Actually, 9 now. He played last night, walked straight into it. It was fine.
Yeah.
And beat me.
Did he? Really? Yeah. Goodness. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And that takes some doing.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I'm Games Master David.
Okay, Ticket to Ride. So it's a set collection game, fairly simply. The object is to collect train cards that complete destination tickets that you draw across a map of early 20th century USA. It plays 2 to 5, as you said, and each player takes one of 3 actions each turn. The first one being they can draw or draft from a communal pool or communal deck of cards.
Does draft mean take?
Draft means to liberate from
the selection.
Yeah.
Because there's a draw pile, and then there's 5 or 6 cards that you lay out face up at the front.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I say draft, you have a look at the 5 cards that are face up, and you can make the choice based on your current collections. And you can choose the one that you're most desirable to have.
But there's a twist there, isn't there? Because if you take one face up, everyone sees what set you're trying to collect.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. So they at least have some information. Yeah. They don't necessarily have it all.
But why are you collecting sets?
Yeah.
Why are you collecting sets? That brings me to the second action that players can take, which is to claim a route. Now, the way you claim a route is you surrender.
How do you pronounce that?
Claim a route.
Yeah. What do you claim?
Route.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, you claim a route.
Yeah. We're going to have that potatoes.
No,
we should start singing the song.
I think it's important for David going forward that we call it route.
Yeah. No, from before. I specifically sat down when I was playing against the wife the other night, and she said, I would like to I'd like to put some counters down between Kansas City and St. Louis. And I was like, I don't think so. And she was like, no. I said, what are you trying to do? And she goes, oh, I want to put a line down between Kansas City and... No. Can I have a route between Kansas City? Yeah, I can accommodate that.
And that's why it's ages 8+.
Yeah.
Because you can say it however you want.
You bring kids up to speed.
Yeah.
And
family game.
The game rewards you for having the longest route.
It does.
Much as in life.
Yeah, or building the hardest route.
And you can take, and it gives you a little card for that at the end. It says 10 points, but really what it's saying is take this card to the nearest nightclub immediately, walk up to anybody who you fancy and say... Check it out, baby.
Yeah, I've got a ticket to ride.
I can route longer than anyone else. That's what you're saying. You could just pin it onto your little, pinafore jacket or whatever.
Which
it
you're
sounds
wearing
like a t-shirt
to the club.
T-shirt, yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. You can claim a route on the board for points, or you can
do it on the board.
On the board.
Oh, yeah. It's a big board.
Can you get replacement boards if the first one gets too sweaty?
I think you can.
Yeah, that's why mine has salty buttock cheeks on the middle of it. And that's the store. That's the
store board. Yeah, the shape of the thing is that's the store board.
Look out for that when you're in store playing.
Yes, the big splotch isn't a new city.
Yeah, no. It brings a whole new meaning to Salt Lake City. All right.
Oh, dear.
So we're drawing cards from the tickets to claim a route.
Yes. And then you take your little trains. Everybody gets 45 little beautifully sculpted plastic trains. Or if you get the earlier...
Carriages,
you're right. They're carriages. So from the earlier versions of the game, I believe you could get wooden carriages.
No, that's not right.
That's not true.
Not right?
No.
Not true?
No. You could whittle your own out of a stick.
Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe
the game's
maybe
only 10 years old.
It was just a pimped-up version.
They had plastic back then.
Yeah. They'd run out of
you
wood.
You lie.
By 2004, there was no more wood. Yeah.
It's because all those people claiming the longest route.
Yeah.
No more wood after that.
No more wood.
So you can play your carriages out on the board for the appropriate number of cards. So you surrender the cards, play your trains, claim the route, and then once you've claimed enough routes along a designated line, the destinations, so let's say Omaha to Duluth, which is only two carriages away. Once you claim that, you then score those points.
Oh, this is getting better.
So you score for your for the number of carriages you've used.
And so a ticket, the actual ticket to ride comprises of several smaller destination points, and if you combine all of those, then you fulfill
the journey.
The journey.
Yeah. Yes. Then you actually complete the tickets.
Yeah. I think we're overcomplicating it because instructions aren't as big as...
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably halfway through a game if you started when we started the podcast.
You probably would have just figured out how to play. You don't stop listening to this podcast. Fast forward to the end where there's a competition detail.
And that's essentially, that's it. The person at the end of the game with the most number of points is crowned the winner.
Yeah, and there's no crowning.
You can keep a tally because there's a score, a running score around the board, which you move your counter along, and so you can see how you're going corresponding to everybody else. I played last night and I used the new scoring method, which I learned off two gentlemen very close to me right now.
Is that the actual
the
scoring
actual
method?
Scoring method where one carriage doesn't equal one carriage. Once you start getting a little bit higher, there is actually a scoring reference
multiplier
thing on and it's a multiplier of sorts on the board, which I totally overlooked the first few times I played. Made a big difference, probably why I came last night.
So if you place one carriage, you get 1 point, but if you place two, well, you get two points.
Now.
The point is, if you place three, you get 4 points. 4, 7 points. 5, 10 points. And I'm going to let listeners guess how much you get. All right, you get 15 points if you place six.
Yeah. So it does make a big difference. And what I found in last night's game was that I had something like Winnipeg to Houston, which comprised of lots of short trips. So even though I got my ticket to ride completed, for one ticket, I didn't score a great deal doing it because it was made of one, then two, then two, then one, then two. Other journeys require that you place five or six carriages, and you've got to do them in one whole set at a time, and which gives you way more score, because like a putting down six will get you 15 points, where if I put down six between Dallas and Duluth or something like that, I'm going to get 6 points for it.
You really want those mid-range tickets that have a combination of the threes and threes to five routes on it. That's what to aim for. I mean, the score track goes up to 100, but you don't limit yourself to that.
I've heard some people clock that.
Every time I've played it, it's not unusual to end up with a game around about 120, 140 goodness points.
Now, I fell foul of a drawback to the game. Well, not to the game, but to claiming too many tickets. I claimed, in my second grab of tickets, I claimed one that was across the top of the states, something like Vancouver to Sault Ste. Marie or something like that, and got completely stuck. I couldn't do it, and it was worth 22 points.
Mm. And what happened at the end?
At the end of the game, instead of getting 22 points, lost 22 points.
The game is a harsh, harsh mistress in that respect.
It is. I'm still really...
But don't let that put you off.
But be mindful. You've got to be mindful.
Yeah, be mindful that once you start, you really are in this for the long haul.
Yeah, the train business is a tough business. There's no screwing around.
No.
I like the idea that you can get extra tickets later on, and you're just cycling through the pile of tickets when that's all you've got, and you can actually just claim them incidentally.
It's not an idea. It's a reality.
It is a reality, yeah.
But you have to take one, so you can draw three. Sometimes they fall within two destination points that you've already completed, and then you just like windmill slam those because it's like 5 points for
that's
nothing.
That's what you do, yeah.
But then sometimes you get three which are in districts that are nowhere near what you want, and you've got to claim one. And if you've only got a quarter of a bag of carriages left, you're screwed.
It's almost a ticket to ride power play.
Because the game ends when someone runs out of carriages. First person to run out of carriages, I think. Once someone gets down to
two.
Zero, one or two.
Yeah,
it's the last turn for everybody. So laying all your trains quickly accelerates the game towards an end, doesn't allow people who are playing the slower collect long sets game to. And that's the strategy. The thing about this game, I think, is the strategy level is pretty deep, but you don't have to go in straight away. You can just play a basic set collection game and enjoy yourself.
You can certainly play I'm just going to do what's on my tickets and try and get from point A to point B, and that's it.
Or then
you can start playing defensive bastard tactics.
Yeah, block people.
Screw you,
factor.
Yeah.
There's a bit of that going on last night.
That will lose you friends. There's no qualms about that. No lying about
and
that.
And family members. As you bury them underneath the plastic trains.
And I think that's how Travis won last night, by incidentally doing that. You know, who just go, I'll just have between here and here. And yeah, and some of the other players, wasn't me, but there was three of us,
yeah,
were very upset about Travis's tactics. Yeah.
Well, outside of this game, and the classic game is certainly the one that most people are familiar with. Shall we talk about the expansions and the expanded?
Well,
versions?
I'm excited to hear you talk about Europe, Ticket to Ride Europe, because you have told me before that you thought it was the definitive.
He's the massive.
It is. I think it is the definitive version because it offers some extra play rules, extra variants.
Yeah. it offers extroverts.
As we all know about this European. Sorry to our European listeners,
especially
but you're all
Scottish
extroverts.
Listeners. McHales and such like.
Some extra things, extra little things that make the game just a little bit more juicier.
Ooh.
I have done some very minimal research, as I think I suggested at the beginning of the pod.
I did a lot of minimal research.
And I've written one line here that it adds tunnels, ferries and train stations. And apparently tunnels can have cave-ins. Is that correct?
is
in the
true?
Game. I don't mean in the world, in life.
I have to be honest. I'm not played with that rule.
But you must have researched that rule.
I left that one in the box because really? It was too difficult for my...
The cave-in. That doesn't mean it'll be too difficult for everyone.
No, it was just a little bit difficult for my playing part. And in fact, no, that's not the truth. It was, I don't like these extra rules. Let's not play with them. So we just didn't play with them.
All right.
But no, you're absolutely right. It does add tunnels, ferries and stations. Now, the tunnels require carriages to be placed.
Yeah. We've got to get the words right because people will just get
terminology,
confused.
Terminology, yeah.
They'll think this is about trains when it's actually about carriages.
Yes. Well...
Oh, we forgot to mention wildcards.
Locomotives. Yeah. The ferries require extra locomotives. Now, that's the wild card which can, in a standard game, can replace any colour. So you can just slap down a locomotive.
To complete the set.
To complete the
set,
You could even have a set that is completely comprised of locomotives if you want to be wasteful and go that way, but you can do that.
So Matt would frown upon you for doing that.
There's a twist to the game. Yeah. Play it badly.
Well, you do what needs must.
The ferries require an extra locomotive. So if you require one to get across, you actually need two locomotive
cards. So the ferry is because there's a route that's going across the ocean.
Or presumably under it.
There's one from Sicily over to...
That would be a tunnel. A ferry stays above... Ferries go on the surface, my friend. You're thinking of submarines.
No, not in the early 20th
century. There's a new
century.
Variation for the game, submarines.
All the ferries, you got on them, you held on, they went under the water.
And the Europe board looks intense.
Jules Verne,
there's so much stuff going on. The US is like a nice open board. Europe board is like really, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And like you said...
If we haven't mentioned before, the Europe board is a map of Europe.
Otherwise known as Europa, as it was back then. Known as Europa.
Is that correct?
Is it?
Oh, well, can anyone I'm sure that's that? An unquantified reference. But
I'm reading it.
He's pointing at the
Europe.
Name on the game.
I'm talking about colloquially it was referred to as.
Right.
Anyway.
Really?
Gosh. I think we should stick to...
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. Stick to reality.
Facts and funny lies.
Funny.
Not just confusing ones.
Not just, just like Matt takes a fancy. I like the term... Europa. So he goes, when he's on holiday, people go, oh, welcome to Europe, if they say that.
No.
We're calling it Europa from now on, everybody.
Yes, immediately they just think, wanker.
News for you there,
One
Matt,
of the great things about the map. The map itself is one of those, it's a test unto itself, where you're looking at the map and trying to decipher the names of the cities on the board.
Well, they're written in English.
Yes, and they're capital cities, so most primary school kids know them.
Here's a geography lesson for all those out there. It's Constantinople, not Istanbul.
Oh, yes. Very good. We'll be having that. Because it's back in the day, isn't
back
it?
Back in the day.
Yeah, that's how they refer to it. Yeah.
Back in the day, when stations allowed you to sacrifice points so that you could use other people's routes, I should say. That's another mechanic that this version introduces.
Protection.
You are travelling through Europe.
So go on, you might as well tell us about the stations.
Yeah. Well, they allow you to use other people's routes, other players' routes, to complete your tickets. So basically, it just drops into your ticket.
What if you don't? What if you don't use your stations?
If you don't use your stations, then they act as bonus points for you at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So there's certainly a strategy to not using the stations and hoping that you score enough points out on the board so that you can then add the extra points for the stations.
So is Europe the gateway game that the US version is? Can you walk into that pretty much straightforward? I mean,
with about an extra 5 minutes of reading.
So it's not much.
No, it's not much more complicated. It's just the people I've played with so far just don't want to play with the expanded rules set.
Matt's got a smile on his face, but he's hurting inside.
So there's about two or three level ups from the US version, would you say?
Adds something, which pushes us up to that next level.
Can we go straight to the Marklin version? Yeah,
the Marklin edition.
This is Dave's. He's so excited about this one.
I'm super excited. Firstly, it's a map of Germany.
Yeah.
And I think we all love Germany.
We all love Germany and get a little bit nervous when it starts. We talk about it on the pod.
The Marklin edition is modelled on the German line of model trains.
Which is? Marklin.
The Marklin, yeah.
Wow. And it does have...
It's model trains.
Model trains.
Yeah.
Not models.
I meant specifically
not trains.
It's based on model trains.
Which are based on real trains.
So it's based on trains.
And it just has a map of Germany. But you were saying all the cards that are included in the Marklin version actually have pictures of little Marklin
model
miniatures.
Trains. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
And it adds, if I'm not mistaken, passengers and merchandise.
That's right. Yep. It's considered a heavier version of the classic game.
What the hell do passengers and merchandise bring to the game?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm trying to complete a route here.
So the merchandise allows you, you're transporting goods between the routes. So if you've got a destination that you're going to, you can ship things along there for extra points. I'll be honest with you, I've not played this version of the game.
I've cleaned it.
Yeah.
But I read
Sounds
something
like
about
we're
it.
The ones that know most about it than Dave.
It reminded me too much of Thomas the Tank Engine, so I put it back on the shelf.
Okay.
Really?
Well, I can tell you that passengers travel on the routes and can pick up merchandise between cities, and then they get off at the next city. So you play a passenger card on your route, and that allows you to purchase merchandise, which is worth more later on. So it kind of mimics real life when people get on trains, go to a place to purchase.
Buy shitty souvenirs every city that they stop
at. Or even just some clothing. I mean, this is the 1900s.
Yeah. 1900s, early
90s. Back when you'd buy stuff from shops that were just along the way and it'd actually be decent stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to plastic.
And you had to take a train. Right? You couldn't just internet it. There was no Amazon. Well, there was the Amazon, but there wasn't Amazon. The Amazon was largely unexplored.
Definitely no trains.
You'd be waiting for a long time for a book to come out of the Amazon in those days. Yeah, so that's a complete game because this is a trick, isn't it, of trying to read some of the packets. We've got Ticket to Ride, the base game.
Main game,
which...
The classic game.
Well, it's the original.
The archetypal gateway game.
Yeah.
And we've got Europe. You can buy that, play it all on its own.
Self-contained.
Marklin,
that would be standalone.
Oh, and then there's another one, isn't there?
The exciting one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nordic.
It's getting breezy and cold, snowy.
Where are we heading? Let's go to Scandinavia. Yeah. Sven.
Landhand.
There he is. He's on a train, dressed up as Father Christmas. Ticket to Ride Nordic Countries takes you on a wintry tour of Scandinavia through tunnels and over ferries. Huh?
Over ferries?
Yeah, that's what it says.
On ferries.
Through tunnels and over ferries.
That's a bridge.
So you don't touch them.
A bridge goes over a ferry. Yeah.
Highly competitive. Vertical map. What? Designed specifically for 2 to 3 players.
Yeah.
Vertical map just means the map is placed vertically rather than horizontally on the table.
Yeah.
You can picture that.
Not a note worth mentioning on your board game, I don't think.
It's because the rest of them are in landscape and the Nordic one is more of your portrait to fit in the flaccid penis-styled geography of...
That's it. He's talking about the map,
He's describing the map.
I've got to check an atlas because it didn't look like that. It was more of an angle before. It was like slightly aroused Scandinavian countries.
You think they've just fashioned it how they've gone,
it's got to fit portrait and we'll just let it sag a little bit more.
I think you've been holding the map upside down. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a very dodgy-looking thing, but, you know, lovely to play on. I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, you've not done it.
I've never done it. No, I wouldn't. It's not for me. I wouldn't say, no. I haven't. I did, you know, say people should, could.
Yeah.
I'm not drawing opinions
about
anyone that
would. Quite awkward. This
play, if you want to play Nordic Ticket to Ride, I'm not.
Which is what the kids are calling
I'm
it now.
I'm not
the kids.
Making any opinions of you or drawing any.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, you won't be judged by us.
No.
We all know what happens in those Scandinavian countries on cold winter nights.
I would like to say that the box has got a spray of white over everything. That's weird, isn't it?
That's thematic.
What? Yeah.
Cinematic.
Oh, it could be snow.
Yeah.
It could be snow.
Could be.
Yeah.
Or cocaine.
Because it's cold up there.
But I
wintry
doubt it.
Adventure. That's what it says there. Wintry tour of Scandinavia.
It's not a Santa Claus or a gingerbread man on the box at all. So,
no.
Which is
there is a reindeer.
But if you want to play Nordic countries, then do.
Yeah.
I think it reminds me of Carcassonne, the Carcassonne Winter Edition, where they just took the board, sprayed a whole heap of snow all over it, and then that was then re-released it. Because
yeah.
It doesn't
but Carcassonne
add a huge
doesn't
amount.
Have a board. It's tiles, right?
Well, that's right. But
they've been sprayed.
And then they tore them up into, or cut them up
is
into
squares. Is
that how
they
squares.
Make it? Yeah. So they make a board and then just chop that into
not?
The tiles.
So they make jigsaws, Dave.
What do they do?
They get a, like, perfectly good picture that you want to look at.
Yeah.
And then chop it up into a million pieces.
Put
and
it in
go,
a box
like,
and
fuck
say,
you. You deal with it.
You work it out.
You work it out. You want to see a picture? Fucking here it is. It's a bit, I know, it's brutal.
Like the
it?
Jigsaw. I'm not comparing this to Ticket to Ride at all, but the jigsaw is specifically designed to waste your to kill your time, right? You're like, we had this as a picture already.
And we've wrecked
but
it.
But we've taken it apart because you've got 2 hours to kill.
And you might find later on in your life you've got another 2 hours to kill. Do it again.
Do it again.
Like, why are we doing that?
Wow.
Surely as kids we should have... How dumb were we as kids?
Yeah, but that's why you're seeing the demise.
You still do jigsaws, don't you, Matt?
3D jigsaws, that's where it's at, folks.
A lot of people talk about it as an achievement. Oh, I don't know, we shouldn't be talking about this. Probably people listen to this and love a jigsaw.
Yeah, on a cold night.
But stop it. I'm gonna put a foot down.
Yeah, just buy the picture.
Stop buying jigsaws and doing jigsaws. Rubbish.
Yeah.
But if you're going to get one, you might as well be on a Nordic Ticket to Ride.
Now, if you're going to get a jigsaw, get a Carcassonne. And build a jigsaw, play on it.
Yeah, and get some friends around, for goodness sake.
Yeah, exactly.
This is getting embarrassing. You're doing these on your own every night.
Speaking of having your friends around, Ticket to Ride the Nordic countries.
Yeah.
It's actually only for 2 to 3 players, so it removes a couple of friends.
So you can play the base game, the original game,
and then say right, piss
right,
off.
Those you're the weak link. Off you trot. So, by the way, Nordic countries.
If you have 5 friends and you like playing these sort of games, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you don't like 2 of them, just go to a 3-player game. It's a perfect solution, and like, nobody will question it because, well, it's only a 2 to 3 player game. I'm sorry.
And it's awkward, but you're like, this is what I have to deal with, man. This is my board game collection.
I'm already starting to think of it as the cozier, more huggy type of game as the Nordic game.
Yeah.
So you only want your 2 to 3 players. You go, right, we've played on America. We've played on Europe. Now we're going to go play on a flaccid penis.
Yeah.
And we're not going to need you to because you'll go all hetero on
us. I think you play with your wife and someone you're kind of keen on.
Yeah, you don't play like 2 guys and a girl. It's definitely 2 girls and a guy kind of game. In the picture, hang on, what's it got in the picture here? Yes, it's got 2 girls looking at each other with smiles on their faces and one guy dressed up as like a Frankfurt.
Yeah, because
those are the 2 or 3 players that they've got.
For a game of Nordic adventures.
And it's got a picture of a child here with 8+ underneath it with a very... peculiar look on his face, like he's just walked into the room as you're playing Nordic Adventures.
Why is everyone hurting each other?
Yeah, like, what's going on in here? This is a game with a truckload of expansions,
it
isn't
does.
It? Yeah. Or a train load.
Yeah.
A carriage load?
Yeah,
carriage
that's load. Really much better. A full load of expansions.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first one we should talk about is USA 1910, which...
What does that add?
The 1910? Well, it's in the USA, and it's 1910, and it's just an expansion. It adds 35 new destination tickets.
39 there, Matt, I've got.
Oh, well...
And that's off the official...
Yeah, well,
the official Days
the official
of Wonder.
Thing's obviously wrong, because I went to Board Game Geek, and that's where the information is true. I'm sure everyone knows.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Days of Wonder. You got it wrong.
You got your own game wrong.
I know you're the publisher. All right, yeah. Go.
39. So 35 to 39 new destination tickets.
35 to 39.
Yeah, you get the...
Take it home, count them, see what you get.
It's unconfirmed.
Yeah, you might... 35 to 39. You might get 37, 38.
You get... What's
couple
really
of, couple
interesting...
couple of mythic rare destination tickets. Go on.
of real interest is the Globetrotter bonus. Now, the original game is a map of America.
Oh, yeah.
So how that constitutes a Globetrotter.
North America.
So, yeah, for the most tickets completed. And then there are always also two variants of the play. So there's the big city rules, which actually use those extra tickets, and they connect major cities, so for extra points. So you're not just connecting neighbouring cities, you're actually connecting cities that are quite a distance apart, which, you know, adds a little bit of strategy because there's more ways to block your opponents. Yeah. And the other one is the mega game variation, which just includes all the cards, everything you get in the main game, or the classic version, then the expansion. So you smash it all together and you get this mega game, which... just makes the game much bigger, much longer, and a lot more exciting because there are different ways to win. It opens it up.
Yeah. And where do the Spice Girls fit into all of this? Because it says Zug 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 on the front. Zug Zug.
Yeah. Well, the Spice Girls, this was 1910, was the height of their fame as far as I'm aware. And that was, you know, they managed
Dave
to endorse...
Spice Girls expert.
They managed to endorse a lot of products.
Yeah.
Managed to get themselves on Ticket to Ride 1910 expansion.
They had that famous movie, I think, where they were on top of a train. Is that right?
No comment on that.
Anyway.
London bus. So. Right. And there was a picture of Posh Spice on the cover of that box set, if you're looking for it. So I'd imagine...
No, Posh Spice is on the Europe version.
She's on the Europe version.
Yeah. Mm. It brings me to the next expansion, which is called Europa 1912.
Europa.
That's where you're getting your misinformation from.
These are in smaller sized boxes, aren't they?
They are.
1910 and 1912, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And it expands the Europe version of the game.
Which wasn't called Europa.
It expands it in the same way that the 1910 version does, but it includes... two interesting new components. One is warehouses and the other one is depots.
They're just jacking into any buildings, passengers. And I saw trees on the side of a train. Put it in the next expansion.
God, why should I be interested about this?
The arboretum lunch version. Over a dog under a bridge. Yeah, that's going to be in a Ticket to Ride West Australian version.
You imagine that route between Adelaide and Perth.
The Nullarbor.
The Nullarbor. That's a 23 ticket prize right there.
You throw wombats down on the railway in front of your opponents, derails them for 3 days. Hey, we're onto something. I'll tell you what, Seven Land Hand is the ideas nucleus of gaming. The amount of ideas we come up with in this.
I think that's already established, definitely.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I aired all the good ideas out, so if this goes to where, you know... It's locked and loaded into the vault.
For you.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, once it's on the internet,
Aaron and I are going to go into publishing.
So getting back to the warehouses.
Warehouses.
You accumulate train cards over turns and they go into your warehouse. And then when a player claims a route leading to or out of a depot, then they can claim all the train cards located in that warehouse.
Matt's looking at me with wide eyes like, can you believe this?
Honestly, I can't believe it.
And I've played a lot of games, but this is getting outlandish.
It means that all of a sudden you're going to walk away with a swag of cards in one turn just because you connected to a depot. Yeah. So again,
what's this one called?
Something. Europa 1912.
All right. Okay.
1912, I guess, because we all know that the Great War is about to hit, and so
bring that up.
The futility of it all. It's like, yeah, you did really well in establishing a training like empire. Yeah, that's the word.
But now we're going to ration books.
Yeah, now we're going to blow it all up. Get the Spitfires out. Blow this shit up. Even though Spitfires won't be around for another 20 years, but fuck it. Let's pretend we had Spitfires in the First World War.
We'd win it
quicker, and we'd be back to peace quicker. That's me.
That's exactly what would happen.
Give him the peace sign there, both fingers.
If we're talking about quicker, then we can talk about the DICE expansion.
It's an expansion.
DICE. Yes.
Right.
It's an expansion of the classically main game.
How does that expand?
Classically main game.
The
can we
main
call
original?
It the first game? Game one.
The first game.
game.
To score that game.
The first classically main
the
game.
The first coming of Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride, yeah. All right.
Fair enough. Instead of collecting sets of trains, players are rolling custom dice. And there's also tunnel dice for the Europe
But is
version.
This a, it's a dice game or you're just adding dice to a game?
No, it's a dice game because it removes the train cards and replaces them with dice. So it makes them sort of
to pronounce it like a dice game, train cards. It's the way you say it. It's not what they do.
It's the beach house game. It's the beach house
version. But it's not, is it? It's because you need to bring the original set with you. So it is an expansion.
It is an expansion.
Well, it says on the front.
It's an expansion.
It says on the front.
Very clearly, expansion.
But very hard to find. Full and foul.
Despite, yeah, well, because like they use all this fancy lettering,
yeah,
fancy
Alan
typefaces. Moon's
got his name all over the freaking joint.
Yeah,
do you think you can find the word expansion?
I'm surprised you don't get people coming to the store that just going, "Have you got that?
The latest by Alan R. Moon?
Can I just buy Alan R. Moon?
The best I can do is sell you a part of him.
It's some sort of lunar-based game. It's just with you know. Yeah, but no, they're after Ticket to Ride. Yeah, but you have to kind of look at the covers quite closely, don't you? We like I was moving on, like there's an expansion for Africa, and it's the same size, but it's not as deep, the box.
Yeah, that's the giveaway.
That's the giveaway, because then you don't have any of the components, so you don't have any of the carriages, and I imagine you've got some cards in there that match the destinations, but it's a new board, and it's a whole bunch of cards, but you still need the original.
What's the map? What's the board of?
The Africa one. Well, I don't know. I didn't do any research for it. Where do you?
Africa?
Southeast
the dark, the dark continent.
No? Well, that's interesting because they did an India one.
Oh, they did too. So is that the same? Now,
hang on. Are you talking about the map expansions here?
Yeah. There are four of them.
Map expansions.
Well, give us the first three. Yeah.
The first one. Now, you're going to... Actually, I might save the first one for last. I'll give you the second
Give
one
us the
first.
Second two.
India and Switzerland.
Oh, really?
There's a Switzerland expansion.
India and Switzerland, they're on the reverse sides of the map.
This is a bit crazy because you've already played Europe and Germany and Nordica. But just in case you're like, geez, we're not covering all of this enough.
It gets better.
You've got to go, you just quickly do Switzerland.
It gets better.
The Alps in Switzerland.
The Alps in Switzerland. The interesting thing is they introduce a new mechanic where you've actually got to play... Mount terrain. They introduced terrain, which can affect how many trains.
This is becoming a three-dimensional game.
Well, in the flat 2D version of the sense of the word, yeah.
In the 2D sense of three-dimensional.
Three-dimensional.
What was the fourth one?
The fourth one is Indian Switzerland, the heart of Africa, which we all talked about. With the monkeys on the front. I like that one because it's got all these monkeys. But
Well, because you play...
I just like monkeys.
What you do, you play an explorer.
You play an...
So you're exploring Africa.
Tonight, I presume.
That's exactly right.
By train.
But you explore by train.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? I'm going to explore and map Africa. Now, where's the train? No, we haven't done this before. It's like, but get around. You just got to walk that way, just like in all that shit. There could be anything in there.
It's monkeys.
Like, there could be monkeys for crying out loud.
Just imagine if he just travelled by train while looking for Dr. Livingston. He never would have found him. Because he never got off the train.
Yeah, how did Captain Cook discover Australia? By train. This is on one of those ferries that they've got in Ticket to Ride that just hover across.
That you go over.
Yeah.
History students, don't listen to this podcast if you're looking for accurate historical facts.
But listen to it for other reasons,
yeah,
for goodness sake.
For other reasons.
You're driving to work and it's quiet.
There's nothing to do for 2 hours and you haven't got a jigsaw with you.
The fourth one.
Imagine doing a jigsaw while you're driving.
Well, I think
expansion,
we've all been
that's
there.
Another game. That's another thing we can do. I've got a tweet with my left hand, do a jigsaw with my right hand, and hope the car gets there with my nose.
Imagine that police report.
Yeah.
The fourth one is the Netherlands. So we're talking about Switzerland being, its own one. Then the Netherlands
so
gets
Belgium.
Its own as well. Belgium. I don't know. Okay. Netherlands?
The Netherlands is really
Holland,
close to Holland.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's been invaded by Dutch people.
It doesn't say what year this one's set.
Deutschland. That sounds like Dutchland.
Yeah, that could get you back to the Marklands one for you for that.
Holland.
The Holland, yeah. The first one is the interesting one. Team Asia and Legendary Asia, are they called?
Team Asia.
I'm excited.
Asia.
I'm actually excited.
It brings Ticket to Ride to the team play genre.
So you get six of your mates. You split into two teams of three.
Go off and build a railway.
Well, that's a bit more physical than I was expecting.
I'm not fully sure on how that one plays out, but the gist of it is you
Days of Wonder really missed the ticket. It doesn't say anything about this on I'm holding Days of Wonder's catalogue here.
Matt's giving us the gist of it.
Volume 1, Asia. There's no mention of team.
Matt, you're trying to outdo yourself.
Legendary Asia. Maybe. I think part of Matt's research has just been just to invent games. No, that's it. Yeah.
It does, it allows you to play Ticket to Ride in teams. I don't know how.
All right.
Which you could have done anyway. So you just say, let's do me and you versus this guy.
You get the threesome from Nordic countries. You're close. You're tight. You go, right, we'll take on anybody. Come on, bring it on.
And they bring their threesome.
And it's just the three ugly people from the original game. They weren't invited to the Nordic game. So you have ugly people versus more free living.
Free living.
Or like
possibly ugly,
old and hairy, probably. Yeah. So is that how Asia plans? Is that how you play Asia?
Team Asia sounds
legendary Asia.
Like a seedy night in Bangkok, I think.
Yeah. Sounds about right, yeah.
The other one, Legendary Asia, is more like the traditional classic.
Oh, so this is different. The one I'm looking at here is there's Legendary Asia and there's Team Asia.
They're all part of the same package.
Oh, right.
But
you're getting
Legendary
the inside
Asia.
Information here because Days of Wonder haven't even published this yet. So Matt is onto this.
To be fair, I just saw it here. It says in 2-player teams to complete shared destination tickets and trains. So
there you go.
Matt goes to the top of the class. Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
And Legendary Asia includes terrain. So basically,
really?
Yeah, it includes terrain for certain.
So, it becomes,
so you get bonus points. Basically,
becomes like a 3D game
on a 2D environment. Yeah, yeah.
So it's vertical and horizontal,
three-dimensionally 2D game.
What's the other one?
Z. It's X, Y, and Z. We haven't got a word for that, have we?
Depth. The vertical, the horizontal.
Yeah,
probably depth.
Yeah. Right.
We haven't got a word for it, but probably humans have.
Now, what about the card game? The card game, you can pick that up and just play that all by yourself, can't
if you?
Can't,
yes. If you're going to the beach house and you didn't want to carry a board...
I was looking for a beach house game.
Then you take the card game.
I don't have a beach house. I don't know why I'm so fascinated about games for beach houses. I don't even want one.
Oh, look at this.
If I can't look after one.
If you listen to this many episodes of Seven Land Hand, and this is about the ninth one...
I've broken down
into
a Frank.
You're getting to the point where Tanzania doesn't have a beach house. Listeners,
that's disappointing.
And they were all thinking how they were going to invite themselves over to your next beach house party. You're letting everyone down now, David.
It's a hyper magic nerd paradise.
You can advertise this podcast as having a Stark reveal.
This is what we've been building to.
With shockingly sexy consequences.
Yeah.
Ticket to Ride, the card game, yeah. Players, are collecting train cards to collect to complete destination tickets.
Says here, Days of Wonder will guarantee fun and nail-biting
haven't we
tension.
Known? Haven't
will
we
you
know
stop
not,
reading that? It's
we know
undermining
not to believe
everything.
The publicity.
It says, Ticket to Ride, the card game, delivers all of the excitement, fun and nail-biting tension of the board game. So basically, Days of Wonder is saying, don't bother with all other shit, just buy this and you're done.
Yeah, you just play the card game.
It's
the same experience.
It's the same experience.
But you don't have to clear your table.
Fun and nail-biting tension, but you do need a beach house.
They must be talking about the fact that players get to rob... They get to rob other players.
Yes.
Yeah, so they get the
wheat.
They get to steal train cards away from them at crucial moments. So,
this just in, 10th anniversary edition come out this year. It's coming out. It's out. It's been made. It's coming out this year.
Pure gold.
And cardboard. Mostly cardboard and plastic cardboard.
So it's an expansion?
No. Standalone. It's like a reprint of the legendary base game.
Each component will be whittled out of wood by Matt McHale.
Well, that's interesting because you do get unique... Each player gets a set of unique train carriages.
You get that now. They're just different colours.
But they're modelled the same. These are modelled differently. So they look different regardless of colour.
Yeah, so these are all the reject carriages that the machines
you get
cut
all
out
of
the last 10 years.
But probably the most exciting part, if you can use the word exciting in this, is...
You definitely can.
Well, the most exciting part.
It's the number one gateway game.
Good point.
It's the first coming classic original.
Well, the board in the Legendary Edition is 50% bigger.
No way.
Oh, yes way. You forced me to say yes way.
Vertical. Vertically 50% bigger or horizontally 50% bigger?
X,
or
Y, and Z.
Or an obtuse angle.
This board is already impressively big as it is.
So imagine the base core game.
How could we imagine that if we're at home listening to this podcast, Dave?
look at it. if you've got a cobby. Well, yeah. 300 times as,
we'll be listening,
well, 50% bigger, so about double and a bit more, larger than that.
Double and a bit more, isn't that like 55% bigger?
I don't think it's, that's the important thing.
Anyway, but much bigger.
It's way bigger.
Much bigger.
For some sort of reference, I think you need to maybe look at, I don't know.
Three books next to each other.
A suitcase.
If you're going to open your bog standard board game, it's kind of like two bits of card just, folded in half. In it, like,
this big, is a route you shouldn't go down, trying to describe a board.
A board, yeah.
There are a couple of other expansions which I think are worthy
but
of
wait,
note.
There's more.
There is more. This game is so big that now you not just have the legendary basic classic edition.
Yeah.
You can add Halloween Freighter expansion. Halloween Freighter expansion.
Does it add pumpkins? I'm only in if there's pumpkins.
It adds train carriages carrying pumpkins.
So this is the ghost trains. Sort of thing.
Ghost theme. Carriages, because I think the locomotives are still
so,
the same.
So does it just sort of reskin the first printing?
Well, get this.
In a Halloween theme, so that if you're sitting there in your witch's costume, you've got your candles and your pumpkins, and you want to play Ticket to Ride, but it spoils the mood, you Halloween it up.
Exactly right. Yeah. But this is the catch, is that only one out of those five players will get to be
the pumpkin. You've got a regular sort of nuclear family, and then you've got the teenage goth girl, she'd play the Halloween
She'd trader. Play the Halloween pumpkins.
Yeah. Or one trick-or-treater that's come over.
You just invite them in.
And you're like, hey,
yeah, we're one short.
We need one more.
Yeah, tell your mates to piss off. Bring in your lollies. Let's sit down and get, you can play with these since you're wearing all that weird stuff.
So all it is it's a thematic replacement for a single train set colour with the pumpkin trains and the pumpkin stations. That's,
any other rules?
Nope, that's it.
No.
I'm going to need to listen to that bit again.
The other one I want to talk about is my favourite expansion for this game, which is the Rampage version that includes a Godzilla-esque and a Marvin the Martian type alien.
I don't believe any of this.
It's called...
Alvin and Dexter.
Alvin and Dexter.
The chipmunk
that's it.
Version.
Yeah.
Not the chipmunk version.
Chip and Dale.
Alvin is a...
No, Chip and Dale's. I've watched a lot of them. I like them when they sing.
And dance.
And dance. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Oh,
they always get so hot, though.
Good memories. Yeah.
They always have to remove... that's my experience.
They're not as furry as you'd think. When they take everything off, you think... That's weird. I thought they'd be furry.
It's weird.
They're very smooth and glossy.
And there's only me here and this one guy.
So, and like, yeah, when I called him up to do a party for my children, and I didn't expect this.
Well, I have to say, Alvin and Dexter aren't your typical Chip and Dale chipmunks. They're a pair of fun-loving, city-smashing, rail-riding train enthusiasts. There, one's a Godzilla-type creature and the other one's an alien.
So they introduce a chaos element that is long overdue in train games, apart from train crashes, which is also a train chaos.
And we've got like 10, 12, 100 releases that are all of an era and all have captured the romance of trains.
Oh, yeah.
And they've gone, fuck that, aliens,
let's
Godzilla.
Let's destroy that shit.
Straight in, yeah, come on.
Well, the great thing is you can't, when one of these monsters... are in a particular city, you can't build routes into that city when they're there. So, but what you can do is you can interact with the monsters by discarding locomotive cards. So,
like you feed them.
You feed, it's like feeding them. Yes, you feed them one locomotive or two locomotives, and then you can move that monster three or six cities away to fuck up with other people.
Like, it's like Cthulhu. He's a god of another world. He's massive, as big as a mountain, but can be destroyed or distracted by driving a boat into him. In this case, trains. I imagine it's the same thing.
It's the rule of nature.
It is.
There is a... when the final scoring happens, though, all tickets that have been completed that end at a city where one of these monsters reside or are nesting... the points are halved, so there's a bit of a penalty. So they've trashed the city, I guess. There's nowhere for this train to pull into station because the station's been eaten.
Yeah.
And so you lose half your points for that station.
You're not providing a good service to your passengers. Yeah. It's too
dangerous. But you know this when you're going into the game. You're aware you're taking on this kind of challenge. It's not like...
So don't feel bad afterwards if you don't get it.
Because if you just wanted to build routes and score points... play the original first classic printing.
You get a couple of nice miniatures with it. Yeah, you get a little Godzilla, a little Alvin, and a little Dexter
carved
miniature.
Out of wood ones?
Carved out of plastic.
Carved out of plastic.
Sitting on carved, top of...
They do that in Asia. They just carve out of plastic. Excellent plastic.
Just cut down a plastic tree.
Yeah. They just find a plastic stick on the ground, whittle out a carriage.
Yeah. And then they're just sitting on top of railway stations. So it's just like having the regular railway station, only there's a whopping great monster sitting on top of it.
Which in a lot of countries is a lot like having a regular train station.
And that one's out, is it?
That one's out. It's hard to pick up.
It's very hard to pick up because there's a lot
inside.
Of stuff in there.
All right, we've got our guest expert just dropped in.
I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, Travis, welcome aboard.
Hello.
It's Ticket to Ride. We're having a special Ticket to Ride.
This is the Travis from the podcast.
This is the Travis, yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Hello.
So he's been working out. He's massive, isn't he? He's a lot bigger than what you think. You hear the voice and you think, right, mental image. When you see the guy.
Oh, it's blowing me away.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to get an extra chair and
stooping through the doorway. Yeah. So how you been, Travis?
Very good.
I hear you've been, you put down the magic card designs and you've been playing a bit of Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, I played it last night and I came second.
Yeah.
And...
Who won?
My mum.
Right.
Yeah. So how many people were playing?
Three.
It was a family game, which it is. It's a family game.
Yeah.
My dad lost. He came.
No. Wow. No. I got the bronze medal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got...
It's not about winning or losing.
He came third.
The bronze medal.
Say third.
Yeah. Do you get angry at people? Do you not like people at the Olympics when they come third?
No.
You don't.
Third is nothing.
I would rather come second than first.
Really?
No.
I do not like gold. I like silver.
Oh, okay.
But you've got to think about, because for a lot of the races in your life, you're not going to get medals. Isn't it a lot more about winning?
No.
Okay.
It's competing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, this is.
But as long as you come second.
This is unheard of.
And I also got the longest rail.
Did you?
You completed.
Yeah. And that gets me 10 points.
Yeah. So in our family, he's... person who gets the longest.
he's connected the longest amount of trains on a line.
Yes, I think.
And he scores points for it.
That's an excellent way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel about the game? So you're coming at it as a nine-year-old with nine-year-old eyes.
And it's 8+. So
it's 8+.
He's right in there.
Was it hard to learn?
No, it was quite easy.
Firstly, what do you think of the box cover?
It looks...
pretty exciting?
Awful.
Okay.
Looks awful.
All right.
It's because Alan R. Moon's got his name all over it, isn't it? That's what I think.
Yeah, I just don't
probably
like
shouldn't
the
have asked
cover,
him that.
But the game's good.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're playing, it's a map of America, North America.
Yeah.
And then you're collecting your sets, you're trying to get the different colours. Did that excite you, the collecting the sets, drawing the cards?
I just thought when you get the cards, you just give it and you train. And you had just one little train and you had to get your train and go to the other platform, but it's you have to get the cards and then cash them in, and then you make the line with your trains.
He's just put it better than we did. In
you should just
45 minute ramble of nonsense.
He summed that up spot on.
Yeah.
So you're saying initially you thought there was going to be platforms involved, and you had to catch trains.
I thought you just got cashed in your cards and then
rode a train.
No, you just had one little train and you rode your little
like a train race or something.
Yeah,
okay,
something like that.
Progress.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you play more of a railway tycoon in this. You're trying to build up a collection of trains.
Yeah, and I did both of my tickets. I only had two.
What was your strategy? How did you attack the game? Did you just go in there thinking, I just need to beat my dad? Or were you thinking some other, more about the trains to collect?
I was thinking I would come last.
Okay. It's a strange attitude.
No, because he's Mr. Strategy. He knows. I mean, he's a magic card designer. He knows what's going down. He's playing you now. Right after we finish doing this, he's going to be saying, so do you want this game? Because I'll probably lose.
I'm starting to think this isn't the Travis that I've heard on all the other podcasts. He's all about the winning. He was all about the winning before, crushing his opponents. You've come in the Ticket to Ride. It's mellowed you out. Maybe this was a bad idea.
Yeah, but in Magic, coming second.
Yeah,
is,
Magic, you've got to smash
third.
The other player.
Yeah, see?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He's certainly rised up now.
No, no, watch out. He's coming out swinging.
Always have a sledgehammer next to you.
Okay. What's that? Always have a...
Always have a sledgehammer next to you.
That's a maxim, isn't it? Yeah. Wherever you are, always have a sledgehammer next to you.
So, so did you know there was a whole bunch of other Ticket to Rides? Other versions of the game? You've seen them in the shop, haven't you?
Yeah.
Plenty of expansions.
Is there any of those that have excited you? You think you'd give those a go?
What if I just quickly rattle them off?
Yeah, go on.
There's one in Europe.
Yeah.
There's one in Sweden. There's one in Switzerland. There's one in Germany.
Africa, India, there's Asia.
He'll love this one.
Yeah, what?
There's Alvin and Dexter, and they smash up train stations.
It's a Godzilla and a Martian.
You like that one?
No.
I don't know this man at all.
And there's one in the Nordic countries. But, which one of those would you like? Which one?
Africa.
Oh, yeah, there is Africa and there's India.
Yeah.
Why would you like the Africa one?
Because I never knew there were going to be too many train stations there.
And now there are?
Because, yeah.
That's a good thing, isn't it, for your age? Like, you were picking up a bit of geography last night. I mean, you worked on the pronunciation of Denver for quite a while.
How long?
Yeah.
A long time.
With a few different versions of it?
Yep.
Yeah. Anything so what would you give it out of 10? Trying to train, Ticket to Ride, out of 10.
10 being the highest.
1 being the lowest. What would it be?
I don't know. I'd probably give it a 3.
Oh,
a 3?
My goodness. What would get it up to a 5? What would we need to add to the game to get it up to a 5?
I don't know. It's just...
What's a 10 out of 10 game? Have you got a 10 out of 10 game?
I probably think... Zombie side.
Oh,
that's right on the money. That's topical.
Yeah, that's a gateway game.
Yeah.
Gateway into
zombies.
Yeah.
Prison Outbreak.
Yeah, right.
Specifically. Yeah, okay. How would you feel if there was a competition and that was the prize? You'd be motivated for that competition?
No, because we already got it.
No, the original version, which we don't have.
The base game, the classic.
Yeah, well, I haven't played that, so I don't know how good it is.
Yeah, but... Wait a minute. What if you could win a copy?
Be up for that? See where we're trying to lead you here. Not so much.
Well, it looks like we've got a rubbish competition in our hands as well.
Right. Travis, if you could win a copy of Ticket to Ride, would you enter that competition? That's the important thing.
Yeah, I'd probably enter it.
Yeah,
okay,
there you go. Zombie side, no. Ticket to Ride, yes.
So that's how it works out. 10 out of 10 game, not worth winning. 3 out of 10 game, definitely. Give me that for free. Yeah. Well, I suppose if you're going to hand over your cash, you want to be handing over quality stuff. Get the faff for nothing. All
right. Yeah, if he doesn't have to pay for it, he'll have it. He'll take a copy.
He's 9. He doesn't have to pay for anything. What are you talking about? Anything you want to finish off with then, Travis?
Well, I just want to say 3 things about what I liked about it.
Yep.
One, that it was my first time ever playing it, and I already came second. I thought I'd come last.
So it's very winnable for a newbie's point of view.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that I thought it would be different, but it was quite complicated, not too easy.
Okay. Which is different. You said it was easy to learn. No, okay.
I thought it would be an awesome game, but it's an awful game.
Oh,
no,
God.
What?
So those are the 3 things that he wanted to say about it. Given that it got 3 out of 10,
yeah.
Those are probably the only 3 things that he wants to say about it.
It was an awful game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you said you liked it.
Did we do any prepping at all?
No.
All right, this is the point where you move on to the next game, but that's it. We really just needed a good review for Ticket to Ride, and we walk away. A 3 out of 10 is all right. I've played some 1 out of 10 games before, and I'd be happy to win them in a competition.
Peter Jackson games.
Steve Jackson.
All Steve Jackson games.
Peter Jackson did The Hobbit and other such films.
He makes rubbish games.
He does make rubbish games. Travis, before you go, I've just got a stack of Magic cards in my car for you to sign. We don't have to do that on air.
Okay.
takes it in stride. He's autographing cards.
He's doing this left, right, isn't it?
Yeah. All that is left is dust.
There's two, there's four, there's six, there's eight. No, wait, there's 10. It's Dave's top 10.
Is that right?
That was brilliant. That was I didn't know you were going to go so roadie at the end there.
Yeah.
Buy a 4x4 from Dave's top 10.
Brilliant.
Yeah. All so right, you've done a top 10.
I have done a top 10.
Completely swept Aaron aside. He'll be gutted. He's sitting out there in the world somewhere with a top 10 going. Ooh.
Aaron has approved this.
Has he?
Yeah.
Did he help you with it?
So no.
This is Darren's top 10.
No, I mean, I said to him, I'm on the podcast next week, so I'll be doing a top 10.
And what did he say to that?
He was busy and someone had other things on.
That's him giving you a nod of approval. Yeah. All right. Well, you've got a high mark to reach.
I'll tell you what it's about.
If ever we get feedback for the podcast, it's always about the top 10. And it's quite a high quality. They said words.
Yeah.
And
people have typed stuff. There's a lot of, they use a lot of the symbols in between letters.
And you've got to go to a lot of effort to get them to write and contribute. And they do it for the top 10 because they get inspired.
I don't feel any pressure at all. No. Because, I'll tell you for why.
Yeah.
Because the theme is trains.
Yeah.
And it writes itself. Especially the subject I've taken, which is top 10 train game names.
Train what?
Top 10 train game names.
Top 10 train game names. I feel like I'm speaking Japanese or something.
It's the name of games to do with trains.
Top 10.
And it's 10 of them.
Top 10 train game names.
Yeah.
Is that a say it all? That's the full title?
It. Yeah.
All right.
Full stop.
All right, we'll kick it off. What's at number 10? You're going from number... Conventionally, we do it like 1, then 6, then 4, and we get lost. You want to do it 10 to 1, I understand.
I'd like to go descending order, 10 to 1. 1 being...
The best.
Well, it's not the best. It's my number 1.
It's... All right.
Yeah. So it's entirely subjective.
Yeah. The 10 being the crappest.
10 is the... is look, 10 is just number 10.
But 10's awesome because how many train games...
Names
are there out there?
If you're doing a top,
how many? There was like 200.
There was a lot. I mean, there's 200 just where I on the place where I research.
Yeah, which wouldn't be the internet because that'd be cheating. But
yeah, no, I went to all the train stations.
So this is no bearing at all on the game itself, on how good the game
quite
is.
Quite right. Yeah. It's just the top 10 train game names, not the top 10 train games.
Emphasis on names.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's not get distracted any further. Let's jump into number 10, top 10 train game names. I can't pronounce all the consonants.
It's hard to follow that up. All right, number 10, as you say.
Yeah.
Simply called trains.
Has it got any exclamation marks in the title?
It has not. And I'm fairly sure Aaron would ask, is trains spelt with a Z?
Yes.
No, it's an S.
So it's just called trains.
It's called trains, well, and on the picture on the cover is of a train.
No. Oh, that's
not,
misleading.
Not trains, yeah.
It's but just it, of a train. Oh, hang on. So it says trains, and there's a picture of a train.
Yeah, yeah. But I let them off because
smell a lawsuit
they really did
up.
Everything they could to just make sure you knew what the hell you were buying.
You know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting. I put it up there alongside other games that tell you exactly what you're getting. Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's going on.
That's
there.
Just honesty in advertising.
That's right. It's honesty in a box.
Does Epic score, if Epic Spell Wars, if it appeared in a Days of Thunder catalogue, would
Wonder.
It deliver all the excitement, fun and nail-biting tension of the original board game?
What's the original board game, though?
It's the classic, first coming of
the
Epic.
The first
Epic
board
Wizard.
Game. Oh, okay. All right.
Storm coming. Number 9, top 10 train game names. I said it wrong.
Paperclip Railways.
Fuck off. Paperclip Railways, buddy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that delivers, if anything, delivers all the excitement of the original game.
It delivers all the excitement of a stationary closet, doesn't it? Is this like grandma's opened up the top drawer of the study wardrobe?
The bureau. And
the bureau. It's come out too fast. Everything's fallen on the floor. Yeah. She's gone, I can't get down there in my hip. Paperclip railways. Pick up all this crap. Yeah, they're all messed up and everything, but that's carriages. What we want to do is play this game where we separate them all up into their own little stations.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love number 8.
Yeah, which is?
String railways. These are game names. I should clarify. These are not game names I've made up.
Yeah.
These are games, and I can show you a picture of the cover of String Railways.
Wow, that's so crap.
Some of you might have to use your imagination.
Cute. Oh, we're going for crap and cute.
It's two locomotives with smiles on their faces, playing with string.
And is that is it, it's a Japanese game?
Because, well, the title suggests Japanese because it's written in.
It looks like, but it looks like
it's written in kanji. Oh, that's good,
isn't it? It looks like someone's raided the Nana's knitting basket, so possibly,
and made a game out of it. Yeah, yeah.
After they've finished with the stationery cupboard, they've moved on to the knitting basket.
Yeah, like the cat's got into Grandma's knitting bag, made a mess of it, and she's gone. Kids,
string railways.
I've got a new
but
game,
but we're still playing paperclip railways. Yeah. Get
but
up
we're
for
not
that.
Japanese. I looked at the cover of that. Well, how do we play it? Yeah, yeah. Something. All right, number seven. So that was eight, right?
Yeah.
Eight string railways.
Yeah,
I can see. All right,
we're changing it up a bit
that's
now.
That's good. You got into number eight. Eight so, is a very string-like number.
Okay, number seven.
Number seven.
All right,
top 10 train game names.
So you've played trains by now.
Yeah,
and you've played Ticket to Ride.
Played Ticket to Ride.
What if you were playing with ghost trains?
Now you're talking.
You'd be playing Spectral Rails.
What?
Spectral Rails.
Spectral Rails. Yeah. Spectral yeah. Rails.
So same game as trains, I assume.
There's no trains in it. It's just the railway. It's just rails all made of these, out of ghosts.
All of these, first few, have all taken the name rail in their titles rather than trains.
No, but it says trains, then paperclip railways, then paperclip then string railways. Now it says Spectral Rails.
So yeah. What's the connection?
Is that
I'm
a pun?
I'm just thinking ghost-like bars just, and no trains at all.
No, there's trains. If you look at the
does
cover...
Does it say trains on
but
the
cover, this is where cover art is important.
Oh, right.
They're
yeah.
not, they don't cater for the blind.
Did you bring that picture with you?
I can just paint it with my mind. You no, can... I'll paint it with my words. You paint it with your mind.
Okay, do it already.
It's of a ghost train going past the point of view of someone watching it go past.
Why is a ghost train scary?
Sounds like a tip of the hat to... Howard Ramis in Ghostbusters.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
They were watching this and they said, you know what would spice up train games? Ghost trains. So you're at a platform, a regular train goes by.
Scares the shit out of you because they're big, heavy. Well, yeah, a train goes by. Fuck me. Did you see that? I'm glad I was in the way of that. What? I was just going to go get that penny off the track down there and that, whoa, came along.
Do
right?
not get the penny off the track.
Never get the track. But then, so then that goes by and you go, whew, now I can get my penny. You go get the penny, a ghost train comes by, does nothing to you. It goes straight and you go, what was that? Was lights happened or something?
I know why. I've just realized why.
Why?
Because there's no announcement for a ghost train because they don't know it's coming. It just flies through. You get an announcement with every other train.
No one listens to that, do they?
Well, this is why you get so scared of trains at stations, Dave.
Yeah. So you wouldn't
actually,
be worried.
Actually, a ghost train would be nice because it wouldn't have any of the... I've just thought of a bad thing about it.
Go on.
You step off a platform, try and get into the
you
train.
You immediately die.
You fall. No, you don't die. You just fall like 3 or 4 feet or maybe
and the track's not electric because ghost trains don't run on electricity.
They don't run electric. So you sort of sprain an ankle?
Yeah. So it's just a practical joke train.
Yeah, a practical joke. So don't worry about ghost trains. Spectral rails, not as scary as we thought. Is that what we learned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all learned that.
And doesn't have smelly passengers on board. So it's all up. It's all good. All right. Number six on... Top 10 train game names.
Martian Rails.
Whoa,
yeah.
Really?
You did Spectral Rails. You played trains with ghosts.
H.G. I bet it's based on a H.G. Wells novel.
Well, undoubtedly.
On a Martian...
Martian track. Martian commute. So you're doing this. You're on Mars.
Yeah.
You were playing trains before with regular people. Now you've got to get Martians to work.
You want to go from that one big Martian city to that other big Martian city, which we all know the name of.
Yeah. And you want to do it without breathing... The poisonous air. You get on the train. So that's Martian rails.
Useless. Surely you need cities forming before you build the infrastructure. They're jumping ahead. They're looking
it's two
at
ways
us
to
on
look
Earth
around,
go,
isn't it?
They're always crapping on about infrastructure. Infrastructure is the most important thing. Forget about doing anything else. Let's build the train.
Well, you just think about earlier when we considered exploring. Yeah. How much easier would it be with trains? If they laid trains all over Mars, the first guys to get there after the people that built the trains... Tracks.
Martians
just jump on the
people.
Yeah, there you go. You just well. It, to be honest, if there's Martians there, just ask the Martians.
Yeah.
What's going on? Where stuff?
Do we need to go? Yeah. Where are the clubs? Where's where are they? Fast food
I'm
joints?
Specifically here for the clubs.
For the clubs. I've got a longest route ticket pinned to my astronaut uniform, and want to get cracking with some Martian ladies.
Well, that's number six.
It's number six.
Yeah.
Number five on the top 10 training games.
All right, we've had Spectral Rails, we've had Martian Rails.
Yeah.
Now we've got Bindle Rails.
What the fuck is Bindle Rails? You made up a word.
With no research at all, I'm familiar with the word bindle to be a hobo's knapsack.
Right.
You know, he ties up his I don't know if he's got his possessions in there or his lunch, but...
Isn't he a dog? But dog's not in there.
He's got a dog. Dog is not involved in this.
Self-ambulant.
But he puts his knapsack... Yeah, he puts his worldly possessions in like a little handkerchief, which he ties to a stick. That is called a bindle.
Mm. Bindle this rails.
It's kind of like hobo rails. Right. but that name was probably denied.
So I guess he's sneaking onto carriages, trying not to get kicked off by the nasty porter who wants to boot you off while the train's still moving.
Yeah, they're always looking for hobos, looking for a free ride.
From your dog.
Yeah, Ben, you just got to complete the longest route, but you're a hobo.
Oh, that's tough.
Sponge baths from strangers for stories, that sort of thing.
Yeah, never lose your bindle.
Sponge bath. Nick a bit of aftershave off someone, then try the longest route with the
whomever.
Girl with a blooming dress in cabin four.
It's almost romantic.
Didn't you read? Was anybody listening to the introduction? I'm sure I mentioned romance.
Shatter it for you?
The romance
The romance with the description of bindle rails.
Have you done some research?
I know of bindle rails.
Go on.
It's not the hobo train hopping game. It sounds like at all.
Crap!
It is in fact a game where
nothing to do with homeless people.
Nothing to do with homeless people. Well, except that the railway that you work for as a corporate stooge is building a railway, is expanding westward.
With
so it's an
people.
Economic strategy railway building game.
What does bindle mean?
I couldn't find that. It make no sense. Maybe it's a reference because of the number of hobos you'll make as you tear down houses and rip down
bones,
tenements.
Boys. But, it's made out of dead hobos.
So and you work for a major railway company.
Okay. You've killed that game for me. And the sad news is I've ordered it.
Again, Seven-Line Hand, the nucleus
well, that's
of great
that's
ideas.
A print and play.
How awesome did that game sound that I just
the
made
hobo
up?
One or yeah, the trying to get a shag on a train with
well,
a woman?
That's all part and parcel. But yeah, the hobo one where you're trying to get on board the train, get from A to B, clean yourself off a bit.
But we've all had low points in our lives where we've pretty much had to do that kind of thing anyway. So.
No, yeah, it was just last Wednesday.
You're on your own.
Number four on...
Don't go there, Ed.
All right. I've collected a lot of train game names into number four because they're all genius.
You're messing with the format, Dave.
I'm trying to get in another six or seven names.
Yeah.
We've got... Now, these are just names.
Right.
And then on the cover, there's a picture of a train.
Yeah.
1835.
Right.
1870. 1856.
I can see there's a theme forming here.
Yeah. These are all beautiful game names for train games. My favourite being 1846.
This is more like top train name game numbers.
But that's the genre we're dealing with. My favourite being 1846. In brackets underneath it says 1846 to 1935. It's sort of a catch-all.
Is it? Yeah.
It's like if you just thought this was 1846 and you were going to walk away, we've got the rest of the years.
But I think what they've done is they've released four games and then they're just going, fuck it, we'll just do the
just
rest.
Just do the
one.
Rest.
Yeah, this could go on for ages. Yeah.
Who would decide to do this by year? How many years are there? There's a lot of years.
You see, what year are we in now? 2014. Oh, fuck, we're starting 1835. It's going to take an eternity. But all this money we're making, forget about
get
it.
Out.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Are you sure it's years, though, or is it just like 1,835?
Trains.
This is the name of the train.
Yeah, that's just how many trains. That's how many trains is in this box. You just open it. There's 1,835 trains in there.
It's actually a puzzle, and that's how many pieces are in the puzzle.
Oh God!
Next thing, we're going to expand the game. We'll chuck another 25 pieces in. It's going to be 1,860.
That's not confusing.
No, that's direct, straight to the point. Oh well. Number three, top train name games.
All right, you're going to love this. So this is a combination of the year. They took the year, but then they wanted to throw in some interest as well.
Is it by the same publisher, same people?
I'd rather not be quizzed on the details.
Okay. So I figured I asked that.
Yes.
Yeah. Top number three.
Number three.
Oh, this is in the bronze place. This is number three out of the top 10.
What do you mean?
The
Olympics of game. This is the guy that's on the lower part of the podium. This is the game that's stepping up in
not
the podium.
Not familiar with this.
He's the one that's happy to get a medal. He's not grumpy like the silver medal place because he didn't get a gold.
So they're using colours, metals now to judge places.
Yes,
what's wrong with just saying you came third?
I don't know.
Well, this came third. It's called 1860.
Oh, I invented that game earlier, 1860. No. It's got 25 more trains in it than 1835.
This is the beauty. This is an amalgamation of the two. You've got interesting name with year, 1860, Railways of the Isle of Wight.
Really? That's so specific.
Of interest too.
Yeah, well, so everyone lives on the Isle of Wight.
Board gamers,
are you
train enthusiasts, and the locals, of course, locals. Keeping the locals happy.
I'm imagining neighbouring like people on the Channel Islands going, "Where's our fucking game?"
Railways of the Channel Islands,
Isle of Man people. They're just going, "Yeah, I know we've got the bike thing going, but what about what about our railway?" You know?
Do you think that's the Isle of Wight? It's the idea behind the Island of Sodor.
What's that?
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, yes. Well,
I've heard of that.
That's right. It's all done locally on the island of Sodor, where they have talking trains.
And they make train puzzle pieces.
In one shot. They take a photo and then chop them up.
So sounds like a nice place to visit.
1860, Railways of the Isle of Wight.
Yeah. I can think of nothing better to do. If someone was to break that out, if I was at my beach house and someone broke that out, I'd ask how they found me and what they're doing here.
Oh, this is the luckiest day of my life.
What's the goal of the game?
I think 1860 was the last time that the Isle of Wight had infrastructure. After that, they all went into this Martian lookalike competition.
I can follow this up, though, with something a bit more interesting.
Okay, in spot number two on top train name games. Game names. Shit.
It's called Hell Rail Third Perdition.
Oh, I see what they've done there. With this... Hell Rail.
Hell Rail. Third Perdition. So instead of edition, they're keeping it in theme.
Yeah.
It pretty much throws out everything else you know about a train game. This has got attitude.
Yeah. So it's a train. It's a railway straight to hell.
Well, you play engineers in Hades.
Yeah.
Using trains to transport souls.
Where? They're already
to
arriving.
The different circles of hell.
Whatever happened to the old ferryman?
I think the ferryman gets them over there, and then it's all trains after that. You just get a ticket, it's all train business.
Is that why after 1860 there were no more railways on the Isle of Wight? Because they all went to hell. They said, we're having all this shit. This is ours now.
You should see the cover. It's pure rock and roll.
Is it? Sounds like an album, doesn't it?
It is. I will get you a T-shirt.
Or Third Perdition.
that means that there's at least two perditions earlier.
I'm not following you. Right. Yeah.
Original.
There was first perdition and second perdition. Perdition, if you say it long enough, it sounds like you're trying to say addition.
I think that's what they're going for.
But it just doesn't sound sensible.
So is the fat controller, he's got horns.
That's exactly right. Yeah. He's modelled on someone well known from the area.
Right. This is what everyone's been waiting for. This is what's going to put everything together that you've done in the top 10 and therefore be able to compare what you've done against what Aaron's set down in the previous episodes. Are you up to the task of delivering a number one top 10?
I'm sorry? I wasn't listening.
Top 10 train enemy games. What's number one?
Last Train to Wensleydale. I think that just captures the mood. Captures the mood of the genre.
Much better than Last Train to Cheddar. The Brie version, not as good.
I just wanted to ground us. After we went to the dizzy heights of Hell Rail, I just wanted to remind everyone we're playing train games.
Yeah.
And this is Last Train to Wensleydale.
I'm imagining Rolling Countryside.
You should.
Yeah.
You should imagine that. But also, Last Train adds some urgency, right?
Yeah.
It's because you got to catch this, otherwise you'll never get into Wensleydale.
You'll be stuck outside of Wensleydale forever.
Yeah.
Well, until service resumes the next morning.
The next day.
You went out for a nice day out. You dropped into the local for a pint. You think, oh, I've got to get back. No, I'll tell you what, I'll have another pint. You sneak one in, and then... Oh, shit, I've got to go back to Wensleydale.
Have you got to get back there?
Leg it! Yeah, because it's the last train to Wensleydale. I've got to get home. I live in Wensleydale. I'm in this other village.
Of course you do. Because if you were going to Wensleydale for the day, which I assumed you were, you'd catch the first train to Wensleydale.
Yeah, oh, that's already done. That was the first thing of the day. Caught the first train from Wensleydale.
Out of Wensleydale. Yeah.
Came to this other, you know, just nameless village.
Yeah.
Did some activities.
Yeah.
Went to the pub, had a pint. Really wanted a second pint. Knew I shouldn't, but pushed on. Well, yeah, I will.
Last train.
No, oh God, shit. That's what I've got to get.
Yeah, you hear the whistle.
So what I imagine it'll be a board where there's just like...
Wednesday now?
No, there's nothing on the board. There's just three pints of beer. You've got to scull them all before the clock winds down to zero.
Yeah.
And if you drink them all before it gets to zero...
Get on the train.
And move your counter like four spaces, which you know indicates the run to the railway station, you win.
All right. I can almost certainly guarantee... It is exactly that.
Yeah.
You'd be totally fucked if it was Friday afternoon because then there's no more services till Monday morning.
Yeah, see? But then you'd be stuck in this other town, which sounds great because you'd sit around and drink all day.
It's just a pub and a train station.
Yeah, pub and a train station. Heaven. Oh, that was great.
It does remind me of, well, I'd like to just give an honourable mention to a game that didn't make it on, but sort of follows on from Last Train to Wednesday Now, and that's First Train to Nuremberg.
Oh,
that's bad news if you're heading there for a war crimes trial.
Yeah, you know, Last Train, I missed the train.
Oops. You'd rather be on the Last Train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have they got to convict me of these war crimes?
You basically got to get it done in the next 6 hours.
6 hours.
So we've got to make this train.
Right.
First
train. My car's broken down and there's no bus service, so I'm just going to be... I don't think I can make it.
Am I talking to you on a mobile phone?
What year is it? Just after the World War? Yeah. No, I'm on a... The operators has put me through.
Okay.
Yeah.
But your car's broken down.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah.
With Nazi symbols on the side. But don't let that convince you of my guilt or innocence. Yeah, we're painting over that quick. Just getting the kids to paint whatever they want.
The kids.
But, yeah, but I don't think I'll be making it to Nuremberg today. Sorry.
Can we try again on Monday?
No, I've got 6 hours. That's all. Yeah.
Got a lot of Nazis to punish.
Yeah. So that game will be something like that. Paint a Volkswagen. Yeah. Pretty much could have been called First Train in Nuremberg or Paint a Volkswagen. Progress on the Good News St. James Anniversary Competition. And we have the store guy person, Dave.
That's me.
You're here.
The store guy.
Store guy Dave. So this bit, you know, now that you've fast-forwarded through the previous hour of nonsense, this is the bit that you wanted. This is the big competition entry. This is Zombicide waiting to happen. Yeah, you can get yourself a copy of Zombicide, Matt.
That'd be not. Terrific.
Well, mate. Matt, friends. Aww. Yeah, Matt actually specifically cannot.
If you've got a Hypermagic Nerd badge, yeah, Matt. No.
No.
Well, I'd rather have a Seven Land Hand Hypermagic Nerd badge anyway, and it was bestowed to me.
But good news, listeners, you'll get one of them as well.
Yeah.
You'll get a copy of Seven...
Oh, fuck off.
Yay! You get a copy of Zombicide, and you get a Hypermagic Nerd badge. How do you do that, listeners are questioning all over the countryside and maybe world. Yeah. Hopefully no one in like a really long, like Nordic country. Like, you know, no. We frown upon them now. I like them. They're all very good looking people. But anyone from a Nordic country, if they win the competition, postage is going to cost you a fortune.
Yeah, to be honest, if you're serious about winning, do think about our postage costs. So mostly enter within the metro region.
Yeah, I think that's wise. So
within a kilometer of Dave being able to drop it off to your front door.
Yeah, I tell you what, a drop off would be the easiest thing.
Yeah. But yeah, but
I think I've decided who's going to win.
Well, no, we haven't shown you the entrance yet. But yeah.
Come and collect your prize.
Part of the prize is receiving it across the counter by hand.
At
autographed.
Good
at
Games
Good
St.
Games
James.
St. James, yes. There you go with the plugs. Brought to you by Good Games St. James, all of this. All right.
So. I just keep holding up a sign and pointing at it.
I'll just keep reading it. I feel like a whore. Oh, this is dreadful. All right. So what you would need to do is you need to go to the Facebook page, which is?
Facebook.com/7landhand. That's 7 the numeral.
With 7 with the number, yeah. And you'll find the Good Games St. James Zombicide competition post. We've pinned it to the top of the page, so it's easy to find. Under that, just in the comments section, we want you to do is tell us your best Good Games St. James experience from the past year. Maybe this could be your best win, your worst win, when you snatched defeat from the jaws of victory and everyone was there to point and laugh. Or it could have been the moment when you walked in, you saw Dave sitting behind the counter, picking his nose, and you thought, I've come home. This is where I will game forevermore. You remember that moment, don't you? Now we know who's going to win.
Yeah, so it was that. Specifically that guy who said that to me.
Because you only picked your nose
once. The whole time I just had my finger up my nose in shock.
As he was talking to you.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm... And you said, this is going to be awkward. I'm going to shake hands with my,
yeah.
my non...
It never seemed appropriate to take my finger out.
Yeah.
Well,
and
for lack of a
your dominant finger was up your nose, so it was really awkward to shake with
left hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
For lack of a better place to keep it.
Yeah. Can I pick you up on something, David?
Yeah, go on.
Everywhere, all this paraphernalia you've been putting up, you've been spelling Zombicide with an E. Zombicide.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's Zombicide. Like homicide. The play they're going for is homicide.
What, and they've chosen to spell zombies wrong just so they can get...
No, they've spelled it right.
But zombie, if you just spell zombie, doesn't end in an I.
But if you want to make the word zombie sound, like if I was a policeman trying to try you. No, that's a judge. If I was trying to arrest you for something, having killed a zombie, I'd arrest you for zombicide.
I tell you why. It's because I'm so in line with the kids, I just like to drop the E's everywhere. Does that work?
Yeah.
No,
you've got out of it now. Literally.
Okay, cool. So let us know your stories. Just yammer on about anything. Make us laugh, make us cry. Make us grow as human beings. At the end of March, Dave's going to come back on our themed show, which I think is going to be our Lovecraft show. And we'll give him a selection of the best entries. And you can filter through that and tell us which one you like the best. And that will be the winner.
I'm looking forward to it.
How many entries per person?
I'd go for it, whatever.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, we'll siphon out the shit. Just what? Put your best.
Matt,
best
we've already said you can't win.
Yeah.
What about photos?
Anything? We're multimedia.
Yeah, they don't have to be photos of you. They can be photos of people you've been following. Not in the real world.
Stalking.
Yeah. So, well.
Yeah.
Well, don't send in any photos.
Don't. No.
Specifically, and anyone. I'll take this opportunity now. Anyone that is currently sending in photos, and you know who you are, please stop sending in the photos.
Cease and desist.
Celebrities of a sort. Tweeting the show.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We've got one from Marshall Sutcliffe from Limited Resources. He said, at Seven Land Hand, you too. People here are awesome. He said that to us just off his own back.
It's so cryptic without context.
I was just thinking, all the people listening to the podcast who might not know who Marshall Sutcliffe is, but then again, if you're listening to the podcast, you've pretty sure to know who that is.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. He gets a mention on every episode, and he's on your list of we're going to quit. The quit list.
The quit list, the end of pod criteria.
Which was, if he tweets a cryptic tweet, you're going to pack it in.
No, it's if he gives us a soundbite. It doesn't have to be on his show or anything. Just what is up, Seven Land Hand? Because he always says, what is up, everybody?
Do you want to give context to his tweet?
I don't think there is context. He just did it off his own back.
Just messaged us.
Yeah.
You too. People here are awesome.
Yeah, it just sounds like it's halfway through a conversation. What I suspect, using my Sherlock Holmes powers, Aaron is actually over in Melbourne at the moment. Mm. There's a bit of a magic do going on.
Grand Prix.
It's pretty big, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. How did he go in the Grand Prix?
Well, you can ask him when he's here.
Okay.
I'd
imagine.
Well, he went. He certainly went and played. He participated in the tournament.
I've seen him in all the photos.
He's in the photos.
So high five. High five to Aaron. It looks like he's met up with Marshall because on the Seven Land Hand tweet roll, it's got @Marshall_LR. Hey, Marshall, super nice to meet you yesterday. LR is a huge influence on us.
Mm, he did say that.
Mark. That's what he's tweeted.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't know.
You didn't know
how's,
it was an
how's
influence?
Limited Resources influenced you today, Matt?
That certainly sounds nice.
It sounds like they're having a great time over there.
My resources are always limited.
Yeah. But it sounds like, Aaron's bumped into Marshall. And, nice of Marshall. Give us a bit of a shout-out response. Some people, not everyone does. On other points, we have a Seven Land Hand video coming out soon. Once all the top players from the local store, Good Game St. James,
have
gone over to Melbourne. Aaron went with them as well.
Yeah.
So all the best players went. Aaron went with them. So they've all gone. They're all in Melbourne at the moment. So when they get back, we're going to get my favourite co-host. Is your guest co-host.
Oh, see, I'm not excluded by that
I'm
statement.
I'm trying to make up ground on slagging and making him look bad earlier. When my favourite co-host gets back, we'll get he's going to do some commentary with Paul Jackson, store-sponsored player Paul Jackson, on the Born of the Gods Intro Deck Challenge, which is going to be a video feature, which we'll put up on the website soon.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that, actually. I was in store when they were putting that challenge together. And, a lot of excitement. The guys get to do cool. A lot of cool Never stuff with those decks.
Yeah, so and basically all that is it's the guys rolled off and got an intro pack randomly, you know, as per dice roll. They were allowed to take that pack, add up to $25 worth of cards into the intro deck with a limit of 8 cards. So they drafted different cards in just to show you what a more experienced player might do. They talked through those decisions and then they played off a best of 3 match. And yeah, that'll be out pretty soon.
Can we talk about swag?
Swag. We could talk about swag. We've got bucket loads of it. We've got
2 boxes.
2 boxes, which was supposed to be 1 box. Yeah. Anyway, that listeners don't concern themselves with that.
We're like a rug store. We just got to get rid of it now.
We've got bucket loads of buttons, as our American friends call them.
Yeah.
Badges for the rest of us. So for any competition winners and show guests, Matt's wearing his Hyper Magic Nerd badge today.
Mm. And I didn't get one, just like to point that out.
You're a guest co-host.
But there's the word guest is in there.
Yeah, but it doesn't count. It's about guest.
So specifically, you can't have anything after the word guest.
No, it's actually, forget about guest, it's expert. Guest expert.
Aha. Should I just give you one of mine, perhaps?
How many has he got? Yeah, he can build like a small vehicle out of
one. I don't think he should get one every time he... Actually, with the overstocks, he should get one every time he turns up.
There's no overstocks. This podcast will be going for years. We've got a lifetime supply. The trouble is that, you know, now that the Hyper Magic Charging Badger badge, you know, that's sort of been knocked back a fair while.
Our other badge ideas are going to have to wait.
No, that's not going to happen.
So there's no... You're saying there's no... spend $2 in store and get a badge going.
No,
it's not one of those.
No, you've got to work hard to get yourself.
Should probably edit that out.
Yeah, you're going to work hard to get yourself a badge.
Yeah.
But if you do see a Hyper Magic Nerd near you, give them a high five. As long as you're wearing your own badge.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll probably look you in the eye, blank you, ignore you.
No, because they'd be listening to this and they'd think, oh, he high-fived me because he's also listening to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could work.
Assuming they listen to the podcast.
Well, we have heard that Hyper Magic Nerds are making friends everywhere. It's chic Hyper Magic Nerd now. Yeah, it's a new genre of stuff.
This is taking off.
So you're saying if 2 people out there randomly start high-fiving, it's fair chance that they've actually, they're Hyper Magic Nerds?
Yeah. I'd say it's pretty
It's almost
high
beyond doubt.
Yeah, it's beyond 99%.
And if
it's
you see that and you understand what's going on, then you're a Hyper Magic Nerd.
Yeah.
And you should get involved in that.
Yeah,
and
yell.
It should be three-way yell.
It's likely
yell
that
out, run straight across the rails, ignore the coin. Hope it's a ghost train that's going to hit you. Just keep legging it.
Yeah, this is great advice. If you see 2 people high-fiving in the street,
get involved.
It's highly likely that their decks are going to come out at any moment.
Yeah, I'd say
so. Did you say decks?
Next fortnight. We'll be back in a fortnight with Seven Land Hand Extra, our Magic Focus podcast. So we'll be hearing all about Aaron's magnificent victories and Melbourne-based achievements. That'll be huge. That'll take at least... Anyway, we'll look forward to that.
I'm excited about his Melbourne-based achievements. They may or may not be Magic-related. All right. Thank you to Matt McHale.
Choo-choo!
And
McHale.
Matt David. Mr. David.
Matt David. Matt David. That could stick. We should edit that out.
I thoroughly enjoyed my time here as well as just all the time I've had. No,
that's
thank
good.
You. I wanted to, this is so awkward, as far as an outro goes.
The spotlight's on you, Dave, don't fuck up, this is important.
I wanted to come at this from the mind of Travis, who's a hero of mine in podcast form. And I thought, Travis designing a train board game, how would he approach this? Obviously, I've listened to all of his cards, his magic card designs.
Yeah, you've heard his psyche. Thoughts on Ticket to Ride today?
Yes, yeah, and they were fascinating. I think he'd approach it like this. It would be called All That Is Left Is Your Morning Commute.
Yeah.
Number of players, unlimited.
Yeah.
Ages, 1 to 1,000. The proposition to play the game can never be countered by another suggestion to play a different game. So if someone proposes you play...
So my parents will never play it. Well, that'd be a shock to their system because they're always counting. Do you want to play this?
Can't be counted. Can never
I
be counted.
That in my childhood.
The goal of the game? To win at all costs.
Ah, very nice.
And that's where I put a full stop there at the end.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Matt.
How many times can you knock the mic during a recording and still keep your dignity?
Pretty much zero.
Okay.
I know I knocked it once. I was playing online the other day. I got a 7-land hand.
Did you? What did you do? You kept it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Why did you keep it?
Because I was so impressed with having one.
Play your way out of this land.
Well, every card from here will be...
It was a 1 and 2 drop weenie deck, so... I thought I figured anything that'll come up next, I can play it, and then I'm out of trouble.
And what did come up next?
Land.
It was bad. Then I conceded the match.
Here endeth the lesson.